And I see Dr. Goetz and a couple of other radiologists and a couple of other doctors looking at the CAT scan. And then Dr. Goetz looked at me and he said, you know, do you know who this guy is? That's John's his CAT scan. So we looked at it together. From that moment on, I realized we have a big problem.
John's a healthy, athletic 34-year-old with a wife and 11-month-old daughter. He served as a deacon at church, where two close friends, Dr. Abe and Dr. John, also attended. So naturally, doctors were very concerned that John's CAT scan showed two dark spots on his liver. But it was what they couldn't see, the cause of his 105.7 fever, that really shook them up.
The big question was why, and that we could not figure out why at the time.
2 weeks earlier, John had appeared to have the flu.
After a few days, the doctor gave him some antibiotics, but John only got worse. Finally, he checked himself into the emergency room.
Tests were inconclusive, so John was kept overnight for observation. John's friend, Dr. John, came to work the next day, and...
I felt very uneasy about him all day because I knew he was a vigorous, healthy man, and this was very, very atypical for him, and I was concerned that he had something seriously wrong with him. And I just sort of had a nagging feeling in the back of my head, I need to go up and see the guy, I need to go up and see the guy. And I went and bought him a newspaper and something else, and when I hit the floor, he actually went into what's called septic shock.
Septic shock. John's body was being poisoned. His fever raged out of control. A doctor in intensive care told John's wife, Donna,
we found two spots on his liver, and we think they're abscesses, and with this condition, there's a 90% mortality rate. And I went, mortality rate? What do you mean mortality rate? Like dying? And he goes, yes.
Dr. and another radiologist drained the abscesses of infection. They then considered the gallbladder as a possible source, but the gallbladder tested normal. During the procedure, John's blood pressure dropped dangerously low, and he nearly went into cardiac arrest. Doctors systematically ruled out every possible cause.
The second we say it must be coming from his colon, so we had somebody put the scope in his colon to check it out. The colon was clean completely. The third thing is the appendix. So we said, the appendix is a possibility. However, he had no symptoms at all, didn't complain of any symptoms that are related to his appendix. And his CAT scan looks perfectly normal as far as the appendix. So we say it can be the appendix.
The waiting game began. The doctors thought John would improve after they drained the abscesses, but the fevers continued. Doctor called every specialist he knew. Doctor thought it was time to change tactics.
Well, very bad. When he initially presented and some of these events started to unfold, I was concerned that he was going to die. I called our pastor and said, if there's any time that you're going to pray for someone and mobilize that component of his care, you need to do that right now.
By the time I got there, it was really very, very serious.
Pastor Jason and elders from John's church came to intensive care. They anointed John with oil and prayed for him.
And we came in, surrounded his bed, and began to anoint him and pray. And while we were praying, someone came in and stood next to me and put his hand on John. And I looked, and it was Dr. Which didn't really surprise me.
2 days passed, and John's condition worsened. His chest x-rays were initially clear, but now showed a serious problem.
He started to develop fluid within both of his lungs, which rapidly progressed within 24 hours, where the majority of his lungs were filled with fluid and he was having an extreme difficulty in breathing.
John was put on a respirator. Another 48 hours, and John's lungs could fail completely.
At that point, I'm extremely frustrated as a physician, taking care of him, number one. Number two, he's a friend, and I was kind of maybe emotional about this. I'm saying he's a deacon with me in the church. I've known John, and here I am. I cannot help him. Number three, I felt the biggest disappointment was this is my specialty. I'm a surgeon. This is what I deal with every day. In the meantime, I was praying, you know, praying continuously, asking for guidance and help because I knew I couldn't do it on my own.
On John's 10th day in the hospital, doctor went home frustrated. John's organs were shutting down and doctor had no answers. But he went to someone who did.
My request to God was, give me wisdom, show me, tell me what's wrong with my friend John. Mm-hmm. How can I help him? Why is he not getting better?
That night, doctor had a dream.
And I remembered that dream, a vision. I had something that was going through my head saying, you need to go today to the hospital and put the, do the laparoscopy, or put the scope in John's abdomen, take him to surgery, and take a look, see what's wrong.
Doctor didn't tell anybody at the hospital about the dream. He did find out from Donna that John had experienced some pain in his side recently.
That's all he needed to get permission from Donna to perform the operation.
So the fact that she had such peace about this mm-hmm. gave me that feeling that maybe that dream is a dream from God.
Doctor's initial look turned up nothing, and his confidence wavered. Despite objections from the anesthesiologist, Doctor pressed on. And then
looked around carefully again in the area of the appendix, and I could not believe what I saw. The appendix was ruptured. So then I said to the anesthesiologist, I said, now you better do something to keep him alive, because I have to take his appendix out.
The operating room erupted.
I was euphoric. I was like beside myself. I could not believe that the problem was there all along and we could not identify it.
The ordeal took its toll on John. It took days for him to wake up and months to regain his strength. In fact, it took John over a year to put the weight back on he'd lost during this harrowing experience. But look at him today, plus another daughter and one on the way.
That has a dramatic impact on you, knowing that you are going to work one day and living a normal life and having the problems and the pleasures and everything else of normal life. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, things change.
And you ask, how did you make it through? Well, I was carried through. There was no doubt. I mean, it was easy because of all the people surrounding us who loved us.
And the pieces to the puzzle was very dramatic for me mm-hmm. to start recounting them and putting the pieces together of how I felt, mm-hmm. what had happened to me, mm-hmm. and then the questions, of course, of why did mm-hmm. this happen to me and why was I saved? Why would God do a miracle for me?
And I believe that the miracle is not what I did, is not the surgery. The miracle is that God spared his life.
Right.
Because even if I did the surgery and I found that his appendix was ruptured, he could have died still from the surgery. Mm-hmm. But God wanted to spare his life and to teach me and teach a lot of people a lesson.